Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter, Eric Talk Astros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros. Your team every day. Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, always Stros.
What are the Texas Rangers doing? 100% capacity? Really? Opening day? You're going to have 40,000 people at the ballpark? Are the Astros going to do that? No. Are the season ticket holders going to be at the ballpark? Yes. Are Brett and I going to be at the ballpark? Probably not. We'll be talking about that. And is Carlos Correa could be leading off? Maybe. And what number is Jake Odorizzi going to be wearing this year? We'll talk about that. And is Forrest Whitley actually going to be having surgery now? We'll be talking about all this on the Locked On Astros podcast today. Don't forget to listen to Locked On Astros podcast every day on Himalaya, radio.com, Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen podcasts. Just listen to the Locked On Astros podcast. We got you covered wherever you listen podcasts. And guys, don't forget, go check out rockauto.com. They have all the parts you need, and it's easy, navigable website, and it's cheap. It's easier than just going to the store and getting parts. Get it delivered right where you need it. And Brett, I am so confused with what's going on up in Arlington. But before we go in that, the number 17, Lance Berkman. How does Jake Odorizzi get Lance Berkman's number? But that's just crazy. I thought that his number was retired. Is his number not retired yet? I mean, what's going on there?
No, the Astros now have announced they have a policy that they will only retire numbers of players that go into the Hall of Fame. That was actually reported by, I can't remember, it was Adam Wexler or Kaplan or one of the local guys reported it right off the top of my head. I can't remember who it was, but it's also Sean Barry's number. It was also Kevin Bass's number. So there's a whole slew of 17s. The most recent one, it hasn't been worn since Lance Berkman wore that jersey, and he's now officially off the Hall of Fame ballot. So I guess his number's not going to be retired.
Right. And I know that Zach Greinke and Jake Odorizzi have gone back and they've met before. And apparently he sat in on Odorizzi's arbitration hearing with James Click. Do you have something to say about that?
Yeah, he said basically Odorizzi was officially signed to the 2-year deal. He has met with his new teammate, Zach Greinke, only once. That came in 2018 when Greinke sat in on Odorizzi's arbitration hearing, in which Click, formerly of the Rays, was sitting across the table. And here is a quote from Odorizzi today. He said, "I'm looking forward to getting to know him on a personal level and talking pitching with him, because he's got a great mind for pitching. He's a guy that I mechanically tried to emulate. Repertoire, everything like that. If I can keep doing it as long as he's doing it, I'd be pretty happy with where I am for myself." And so I guess Zach Greinke was there, but he didn't really know him. It was like,
yeah. It was just observation. It was just like, I just imagine somebody like Colin McHugh, who's so intrigued about the process, just kind of going in there and just saying, "Yeah, okay, I see how this works." So exactly. Yeah, I'm not looking in that too much in there, but it's kind of curious how he's like, "Dude, I just want to get to know Zach Greinke. I want to just be his buddy. I want to be his friend. I want to learn from this guy." So
do you remember the show, the movie, Mr. Deeds? Do you underestimate my sneakiness? I think that was what Zach Greinke was doing.
Yeah, something like this. So speaking of sneakiness, what are the Rangers doing? They're saying that what they're going to do is the first two exhibition games and opening day, they're going to open the ballpark to 100% capacity. Then from there, they're going to kind of social distance and isolate and the social distance from there and for the rest of the games. And that's just like, oh, let's open up the barn doors and then try to kind of corral the cows back in after that. And I don't think that's how it works, but I don't know what they're doing up in Arlington, but the Astros are definitely not going to be doing that. I know I don't have the information in front of me, but the Astros are definitely going to be doing something a little bit different. I believe they're going to be sticking to 25% capacity at the moment. And right now their primary focus is on season ticket holder. Briefly go and summarize what the season ticket or the ticket rep is talking about.
So basically what they're going to be doing is they are focusing on season ticket holders, outlining plans for having fans back in Minute Maid Park. Anita Shangle, the Astros senior VP marketing of communications, explains that season ticket holders have three options for April with the rest of the season to be determined. And what's crazy is they're opening the ballpark, Tough Shed Stadium up in Arlington, to everybody the first two games, like you said, and then going, oh, by the way, after that, we're going to socially distance and put you in pods. That makes zero sense. Like, not only do we joke about the Rangers and how much of a ball club that they aren't, they go and make moves like this. It just, like, it just doesn't seem wise to me. I don't know. Hey, maybe
they got to pay the bills. Yeah, they got that fancy new, they got that new grill up there. They got to pay for that grill. And if they have an opening day and they have 40,000, that's a lot more people there to pay for those bills.
So here's the thing. So, you know, back to the Astros, because that's what people want to know. This says we are sticking with our plan, which is basically going to prioritize season ticket holders. So if you're listening, if you know a season ticket holder, find out the games that they aren't going to go to that they have available to them and hit them up, become their friends, go mow their lawn, go clean their front yard, go rake some leaves, something. I know I'm already in some ticket groups and I'm trying to find out. One guy's like, they're going to be pricey. And I'm like, hey, but I can hook you up and I can do this and that. And so the Astros sent an email to its season ticket holders outlining plans for having fans back. And so they are communicating with them. They don't see them going 100% in April. Senior Vice President of Marketing also said, and then there was an email sent out Wednesday that introduced this phased approach. Depending on demand, which could increase, they're originally planned 25% capacity for April 8th home opener against the A's. Phase one, the only phase described in the email, covers Houston's 14 games in April.
Also, I saw that it also depends on what's going on with the season ticket holders and their seats, because as you know, the season ticket holders are kind of all clumped together. And so if they are staying in their seats, there's no way they could social distance. So now if they're willing to move their seats for just the beginning of the season, then that'll allow them to kind of social distance a little bit more and kind of regulate that. So in other words, the Astros have no clue what they're going to do at this point. And so they're like, oh, we're going to wait till March 18th and we'll see what the season ticket holders want to do. And in other words, we don't know. And we'll find out something and we'll let you know by opening day sometime. And speaking of which, let's go ahead and talk about
Rock Auto. Is the place where you get all the auto parts you need right now. If you need something and you don't want to go to the store, get them delivered right to your door. They have anything you want, anything you need, from brake pads to carpet for your vehicle to a lift kit, whatever you want, go to rockauto.com. They've been around for 20 years, a family-owned business. Their goal is to save you money. And when you're looking to maintain your car, you need to save your money. Chain stores had different price tiers. They don't. They treat you and I the same way they treat professional mechanics. Best of all, their prices are reliably low. Same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. to let them know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliable low prices, all the parts you'll ever need at rockauto.com.
You know, someday I would love to go to Minute Maid Park and have a Belching Beaver beer. That would be awesome. Why don't you go and tell us a little bit about them?
You know, Belching Beaver, that would be one of those things that if we could get Belching Beaver at Minute Maid, I would love that. But in the meantime, you can go to belchingbeaver.bev and find out where in Texas they are distributing it. It's probably in your local Specs, wherever they might carry beers from all over. It would be a great place to go. They have all kinds of stuff. They have nitro beers. They have hard seltzers. They have easy drinking blondes. They have stouts. They even have partnered with the Deftones to create Phantom Bride. And I actually have a Phantom Bride India Pale Ale, which I originally was not a pale ale guy, but I tasted this. They literally mailed them to us, and it's actually really good. It's hearty. It's got great taste. It's got great flavor. So go to belchingbeaver.com. If you are in the California Oceanside area, check them out. If you go on vacation, go check them out. Their pubs are open. They will deliver to your doorstep, and look for them here in Texas at belchingbeaver.bev. We're here to have a damn good time.
And out there, I know there's a lot of people who bet, and there's not a daily podcast out there about betting, but there is now. It's called the Locked On Bets podcast, and it's hosted by your boy Q and Lee Sterling, and they talk about all sporting. It's not just like just about boxing or just anything like that. It's about NBA, soon be baseball, all sports. If you just want all the what you want to bet on, just go listen to it. I believe they just give you all the big picks of the day, and you just go listen and go make your bets, and boom, you make some big money. So go check out the Locked On Bets podcast. Just hopefully maybe they'll bet on the Astros winning World Series this year, and boom. So speaking of the Astros winning the World Series, I think we need to talk a little bit about what it's going to look like in Minute Maid Park. And I know I kind of put up a few things about, I know you've kind of talked about this for a little bit, like what is it going to look like?
Right.
I know that they said there's going to be a lot of hand sanitizer in the ballpark, and the employees are going to be asked to wear masks. And I think that if I remember correctly, they're going to ask, it's going to be kind of like when you go to movies, and if you're eating, drinking something, it's okay if you don't wear a mask, but if you're not, they're going to ask you to wear a mask. Am I missing anything else there?
No. So basically, season ticket holders, so here's the deal. They have until March 18th to inform the team of their decision whether they want to do that. The Astros plan to make single game tickets available for purchase during the week of March 22nd. So be on the lookout for that if you're not a season ticket holder. Eric and I are not, so we'll be looking for that. Although the statewide mask mandate has disappeared, face coverings will be required inside of Minute Maid Park, like you said. The employees will wear them as well. The Astros will place hand sanitizer around the ballpark, which is now a contactless environment. Wednesday's email also detailed plans for April games, and it will encompass all of May home games as well. As cases continue to decrease and vaccinations continue to increase, our hope is that we will expand capacity. So they're not looking at staying at 25%. They're looking at starting there. They're not doing the 100% then 20% like the Rangers. So I think the Astros have very good leadership in this area. We do have a city that, whether people agree with how they manage things or not, the baseball team is not going to take any chances. And they're naturally, since they're downtown, they're not going to go against a whole lot of things. So apparently they've gotten the blessing of city officials to do this. And hey, I would rather start now and start small and work to bigger opportunities, because then more people will be able to go to the game eventually.
Well, speaking of being able to go in game, unfortunately, Forrest Whitley will not be able to go to the games anytime soon as a player, unfortunately. I know that yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, Chuck Mike Tanak announced that Forrest Whitley will have season-ending arm surgery soon. He's going to go with the surgeon in Dallas, and procedure will be done within the next 10 days. And he'll rehab in the Astros facility. I'm assuming it's going to be in Florida. And then Dusty Baker didn't make the announcement as well today on after the game or before the game. So this is the first time that they've actually discussed it. I know they talked about he had discomfort in his right elbow, but this is the first time they've actually said that he's Tommy John surgery. So this is a big blow for the Houston Astros. This is another bump in the road for Forrest Whitley. I'm not ready to label him the Mark Appel. I know I made a joke about that a few days back on the podcast, but this is just another hurdle he's going to have to jump. So go ahead.
No. So I was doing some research on this, and there are two different people that I'm paying attention to. One guy that I want us to bring on soon, but there's another guy, and I'll look up his name, and I'll put it on our Twitter feed. He talked about his foot placement and his ankle. And he said what he's doing, if he doesn't change his delivery and the way he throws when he comes back, that he's going to have back issues. Pitcher they called Batman Matt Harvey. He said he's going to have the same problems Matt Harvey had if he doesn't change certain things. And he was typically talking about his foot when it planted. But there are a lot of things that if Tommy John can be, that he can get fixed, because this is a guy that many people have been waiting to see.
And finally, we got the official word. I know that due to the COVID-19 protocol, the team can't really officially say when somebody has COVID-19. But we know that Pedro Baez was placed on the IL, and that's how the Astros were able to add Jake Odorizzi to the 40-man roster. But James Click did come out and say that Tuesday, the veteran, that he was added to the 10-day IL. Mm-hmm. And the other players have not tested positive, and they should be back on the field either Wednesday or Thursday, maybe even Friday. We'll see. But it'll be good to see the rest of the players. And this is something that the teams or the Astros were kind of expecting to deal with. But remember the not the buzzers, but the trackers that they were putting in?
Yeah.
Like so I'm assuming this is what happened. They realized that Baez tested positive, and they're like, okay, who did Baez come in contact with? Oh, he came in contact with Brian Abreu, Luis Garcia, Christian Javier, Enoli Paredes, Hector Velasquez, Francis Martez. So they're like, okay, just be on the safe side. Let's just put these guys on health safety protocol. There's nothing wrong with taking the safe road, and that way you don't lead to a big outbreak that we had. Was it the Marlins last year?
Yes.
I think it was Marlins. And then at one point it was also the
Cardinals or Pirates. Yeah, I think it was the Cardinals.
No, I don't think it was.
I think they were playing the Pirates. But yeah, basically they said, our strength and conditioning and athletic trainers have done a tremendous job setting quarantine pitchers up with the ability to continue to stay in shape and continue to throw, continue to work out, even though they were in quarantine. So that was something that I think they've done a very good job. Okay. According to MLB Operations Manual, a person who has been identified as having been in close contact with a confirmed case of COVID-19 will be subject to a mandatory quarantine of 7 days and must test negative on day 5 or later. Among other requirements to rejoin facilities, individuals who test positive will be required to isolate for a minimum of 10 days and must be cleared by physician.
So I'm betting on Christian Javier to having a good year. So speaking of betting, what about betonline.ag?
Well, betonline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all sports action. Football may be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online, your sportsbook experts. Use the promo code Locked On.
And it's March Madness. March Madness. Built Bar. March Madness. Let's go.
I was waiting for more. So basically, we have been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is an amazing low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which Built Bar is the best. It is Built Bar Madness. Today's matchup, caramel brownie versus cherry Barcia, and lemon almond cheesecake versus carrot cake with walnuts. I'm going to go carrot cake with walnuts because that is my favorite Built Bar, hands down, even though I don't even like real carrot cake, but I love the carrot cake Built Bar. Caramel brownie and cherry barcia. I'm going to go with cherry barcia because I love chocolate covered cherries. So those are my two picks. And if they win, their next matchup is on the 19th against double chocolate and coconut brownie chunk. The competition is tough, but the Built Bar is real. Go to builtbar.com or to built_bar on Twitter. Remember to use the promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order. That's LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at builtbar.com. And check back to see who won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar in the world.
And if you're a fantasy baseball player, you need to know about all the top MLB prospects. And why don't you listen to the Locked On MLB Prospects podcast? It's hosted by minor league play-by-play voice Aram Layton, and it's the only daily podcast devoted entirely to the stars of tomorrow. From team focus, farm systems breakdown, prospect rankings, and interviews with some of the brightest up-and-comers in the game, Locked On MLB Podcast is the best way to stay plugged in to your future of your favorite team. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts. And speaking of your favorite team, let's get back to the Houston Astros and let's talk a little bit about what kind of threw us a little curveball today. Carlos Correa leading off. We saw this, and then I know that you kind of did a little poll and a lot of people kind of voted and said, well, do you want Carlos Correa batting leadoff and then having Miles Straw batting ninth? Which one would be the better idea? And we're just on the Locked On MLB podcast, and I know Sully is not a fan favorite around Houston at the moment after throwing a little dumpster fire at the Astros the other day. But he brought up an interesting point that I didn't think of. We're asking a young guy, somebody who hasn't really had everyday playing experience, to take on not only George Springer's position, but also his batting order position. Yeah, we're not asking him to take on the whole skill set, but why not put somebody like Carlos Correa in the leadoff spot? And he also brought up Springer had the fire. He had the, like, let's go, let's be the team leader. And what did Carlos Correa do last year? He became that team leader. He became that emotional spark plug. So why not put Carlos Correa as leadoff? And Dusty Baker said, he's the two leading candidates. And so what do you think?
I think Carlos Correa makes a lot of sense. I think he is the right guy for the job. 67% of the people that voted in the poll said they thought it would be better for Miles Straw to hit ninth rather than leadoff. I have to agree with Sully on this. Putting Carlos Correa in that leadoff spot would be, I think, prime for him, would be prime for this club. And if he's still locked in the way he was last season, why wouldn't you want your leadoff hitter getting on base? Imagine him getting a hit, then Altuve hitting a little blooper into the outfield. You know, if Correa gets a second, he can get home from second. He's pretty quick. He's not Miles Straw, but then you have Miles Straw batting ninth and he gets on base, whether he gets a single or a double, then Carlos Correa comes up to turn the order over. There you go. I think that is a winning combination. Carlos Correa actually went 3-for-3 today. I know it's spring training, but he went 3-for-3 in his first leadoff spot of spring.
So I know last year during the regular season, he didn't really have, say that because those aren't good stats, but during the regular season last year, he batted .264 with 5 homers, 25 RBIs, but it was more of what he did at the end of the season and more of what he did in the playoffs that's kind of leading this. And so I think that if you look at what this guy can do, and he can get on base a lot. He doesn't have the speed, but it doesn't matter. If Miles Straw can get on base in front of him, you can add that. He can still steal base just as a second leadoff guy. And also, the problem with putting Miles Straw at the leadoff spot is you're moving everybody else back in the order, where you have somebody like Yuli or Kyle Tucker or somebody batting eighth or something. I haven't really had time to really look at the order per se. Maybe after things settle down, we can kind of develop order because it's been kind of fluctuating a little bit. But I like the idea of putting Carlos Correa up there. I think that he kind of developed as the team leader last year. And I think that with after talking to Sully, I think that Carlos Correa absolutely needs to be locked up. He is Mr. Astro now. And I think that the Astros would be doing something stupid to let this guy go after the season.
So Astros fans, if y'all were one of the people interacting with him and you got hot under the collar, like Sully was literally the if Carlos Correa was running for office, Sully would have been his campaign manager because he gave all the right reasons why Carlos Correa should be resigned. And I agree with him. The Astros would be absolutely insane at someone with this point in their career, an absolute superstar, to not sign him. Again, I say it, I'll say it until they sign him, is Jeremy Pena. I really see that as a big hurdle. And
you can move people around. You can move them positions. You can put them in center field.
But you have Pedro León going to center field.
So you can always move him to right field. There's ways you can move.
But then Cal Tucker's in right field. Hey, then Jeremy Pena to first base. I think at the end of the day, Carlos Correa, if I'm a betting man and I'm going to put odds on it, I would say it is probably, I would say a 2-1 shot. No, I would say 2-1 that Carlos Correa is the leadoff hitter, because I think Dusty Baker, the grizzled veteran, will go with the veteran leadoff hitter. That's how I personally.
The other day, Lance McCullers came out and said, I'm going to pitch 3 innings. He ended up pitching 2 innings in a most unusual fashion. You've got to love 2021 spring training. He actually was removed in the second inning. I believe he had 2 outs in the second inning. Ralph Garza came in, relieved him. Then he came back in. I believe he got another out or so, and then he was removed again by Ralph Garza. So this is just what spring training is. And he said, Lance McCullers said after game, I don't like the rule at all, actually. As a pitcher, you get taken out of game and it's kind of over, and then you have to go back out there and try to ramp it up. Spring training is weird like that. The goal is for everybody to get their work in. It's my second start of the year. My velocity was fantastic. My off speed was right where it needs to be. The cutter needs some work, but I expected that. What did Dusty have to say about this?
He said, I expect that in spring training. I wouldn't mind that during the season, to tell you the truth. He said he needed a pitch and his pitch count was way high in that inning. Garza came in and he started the next inning. I think it's good for baseball in spring training. Guys get the work in and they don't get an extended inning and throw too many pitches in this case. Lance McCullers, we've talked about it. He's that bulldog. We had him on the show. We said, hey, who would you give the opening day ball to? He said himself. So I expect big things out of him. What did Jason Castro say about Corey Lee?
Well, before I say that, I didn't know that Jason Castro was dealing with a sore oblique, but it was good to see that he got back on the field. It seems like they're keeping the injuries kind of hush hush this year. And also Yordan Alvarez appears to be ahead of Alex Bregman, so we could see him in some games next week. But Jason Castro had to say some good things about Corey Lee. And he said, from my experiences with him, it seems like he's well on his way to being a very, very good player. And it appears that he's going to take Corey Lee under his wing. So that's why you bring somebody like Jason Castro in, somebody who was a former first round pick to help another first round pick become a everyday catcher for Houston Astros. Jose Urquidy, we'll have to talk about him more next week, but he did pitch and he allowed 3 runs, I believe. He did throw 45 pitches, but overall, this was another tie game. I think it was second straight tie game, but spring training 2021, who cares? But we saw some good things. Carlos Correa went 3-for-3 last time I checked, and it was a great game. And Carlos Correa leading off, that's a mind-blowing concept, but who knows what's going to happen. But this is something that Dusty Baker just pulled out of nowhere. And would AJ have ever done that? Who knows? Unfortunately, but that's all we got for this edition of the Locked On Astros podcast. Actually, we'll be back tomorrow with Sully, and we'll have part 1 of the podcast with Sully. And He has some nice things to say about the Astros, but we'll see you tomorrow. And hopefully we have some more things to talk about next week with the Locked On Astros podcast. Have a great weekend.